This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There's been militant attacks on China's key investment in Pakistan. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report, and we're coming to you live from the BBC World Service. A very good morning to you. Now, China has a lot of money in Pakistan, and a big part of that investment is the deep sea port of Gwida in the southwestern province of Balochistan. Yesterday, militants attacked the port using grenades, rocket launchers and guns like Kalashnikovs, according to the authorities. A Baloch separatist group says it carried out the attack. Here's the BBC's Pakistan correspondent, Caroline Davies.
The area that this is in is particularly important. This is a deep sea port, the port of Gwada, on the Arabian Sea. It is thought of as the gateway to the China-Pakistan economic corridor, part of China's Belt and Road infrastructure project. And China has poured large amounts of money into Pakistan, particularly in this area, in the province of Balochistan, despite the fact that there has been decades-long separatist insurgency in the area, the Baloch nationals wanting to have either a sort of independent separate state or just more autonomy over what happens inside Balochistan. Over the course of the last few years, there have been attacks by the Baloch Liberation Army on both Chinese interests and also Pakistani interests in the region. According to the BLA, they say that the reason they did this, they were attacking the Pakistan intelligence agency's offices. And in particular, a lot of these separatist groups are trying to fight, they say, for a larger share in the wealth from the mines, the minerals that are mined in this area, that they want to have more of that money coming back into the region.
That was Caroline Davies. Now let's do the numbers and talk interest rates. Asian stocks got a boost after the Fed says it's still planning to cut interest rates three times by a quarter of a percentage point this year. And the Swiss central bank made a surprise interest rate cut after inflation there fell by 1.2%, its lowest level in 2.5 years. Here's one for you. There's a team of UN investigators looking into more than 50 cyber attacks that happened over 7 years. And they're pointing a finger at North Korea for these attacks. About $3 billion in cryptocurrencies was stolen, which helped fund the North's nuclear weapons program. From Seoul, here's the BBC's Jean McKenzie.
North Korea is subject to some of the strictest sanctions in the world and is increasingly turning to cyber hacking to raise the money it needs to stay afloat and to build weapons. One UN member country estimates Pyongyang is now funding as much as 40% of its weapons development through these illicit hacks. UN investigators say the regime is still managing to make money by selling its coal and other resources abroad. It also earns hundreds of millions through its vast network of factory and construction workers stationed overseas. But none of these cash revenues appear to be as profitable to the regime as stealing cryptocurrency.
Jean McKenzie there. Let's look at Kosovo now, because it's being asked by other countries to lift a ban on the use of Serbian money. Kosovo, which is in the Balkans area of southeastern Europe, broke away from Serbia 16 years ago after a bitter civil war in the late 1990s. Now its government has banned the Serbian currency, the dinar, as a way to show its power. But there are still areas in Kosovo where most people are Serbian. The BBC's Guy Delany reports.
Withdrawing money from a cash machine is a process that most of us take for granted, but not Kosovo's ethnic Serb minority. That's because Kosovo's central bank has recently banned transactions in any currency other than the euro, and Serbs mostly use the Serbian dinar. Serbia's president, Aleksandar Vučić, accuses Kosovo's prime minister, Albin Kurti, of systematically persecuting Kosovo's Serb minority.
The goal is the ethnic cleansing of the Serbian population from the territory of Kosovo and Metohija, deliberately subjecting Serbs to unbearable living conditions. We believe that Kurti's regime will continue with disruptions and new tricks. They'll take actions against the normal life of Serbs because they think the only way to win is if there are no more Serbs in Kosovo. We will do everything in our power to ensure that Serbs remain.
North Mitrovica is the largest majority Serb town in Kosovo. Thousands of people here work in Serbian institutions, including schools and hospitals. They were given only 2 weeks to adapt to Kosovo's new currency regulations. But Prime Minister Albin Kurti insists there isn't actually a ban on the dinar. He says the regulations are designed to keep Kosovo citizens safe from fraud.
We are not banning dinar, Serbian dinar. People can have Serbian dinars. But the only mean of payment is euro.
The forced installation of ethnic Albanian mayors in majority Serb areas triggered violent scenes last May. Kosovo's authorities have also removed Serbian insignia from public buildings and forced Serbs to surrender their Serbian-issued vehicle license plates. These are all issues which cut to the heart of Kosovo-Serb identity, but they passed with relatively little complaint from Serbia's capital, Belgrade, and that's left Kosovo-Serbs feeling insecure.
People really are losing hope.
Jovana Radosavljevic is from North Mitrovica and runs the New Social Initiative, an organisation that tries to build trust between Kosovo-Serbs and the Albanian majority.
It is disappointing to see no stronger messages coming in from Belgrade, no strong messages from the local leaders as well. So we are basically left completely in this leadership vacuum.
Kosovo Serbs feel stuck between the authorities in Pristina making their lives more difficult and those in Belgrade whose support appears to be waning. The latest figures suggest that 1 in 10 of them have left in the past year. If they can't get paid, more may join that exodus.
That was Guy Delaney. And finally, a golden nugget thought to be the largest ever found in England and estimated to be worth up to $38,000 is up for auction. It was found by a metal detectorist who turned up late for the dig with a faulty detector. But hey, something went right. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.